Okay, so who can honestly say that they feel merry this Christmas, feeling joyful? Okay, that's so good to hear. Sometimes we reach Christmas and, you know, it's this busy time of year. There's lots of planning going on, lots of groceries to buy for food and gatherings and presents to buy. And there's so much work that goes into it that sometimes by the time Christmas comes, we're too stressed to actually be happy. And so I just want this morning to be a time where we can pause. And when I say Merry Christmas, that doesn't mean that you necessarily already feel merry. Maybe you are having a hard time this Christmas and are feeling lonely because of family members who used to be here and are no longer here. Or maybe it's just been a stressful season. I want you to know that when someone says Merry Christmas, it is a command for you to be merry, not necessarily a reflection of what's already happening in here. Okay, it's a command. So here's me telling you to be happy, okay? Merry Christmas, okay? It's a command, so you have to be obedient, okay? So be happy. The Bible says that a merry heart is like good medicine. And so maybe you're not feeling very joyful, maybe you're not feeling very happy or merry, but I hope to change that by telling you a few jokes. Okay, let's start on the right tone here. Why was Santa's little helper depressed? Because he had very low elf esteem. It's top-notch stuff coming at you. Why don't crabs celebrate Christmas? Because they're shellfish. That's right. What's every parent's favorite Christmas carol? Silent Night. Why couldn't the skeleton go to the Christmas party? Because he had nobody to go with. Okay, what is every person in the room having in common with a Christmas elf? Okay, you ready? You do all the work and some fat guy in a suit gets all the credit. Okay, so one more here. My wife found this week and I thought that I'd share this with you. I got one of those DNA kits, said one snowman to another. Turns out I'm 85% water, 8% dirt, and 7% dog pee. So if you have nothing else to be happy about this Christmas, just be thankful that you are not a snowman, okay? Okay, so it's technically not Christmas Day today. But it might as well be Christmas Day for us in the room because today is the day that we as a church family are celebrating Christmas. And it might not feel the same as December 25th because today is December 22nd, but December 25th is not actually technically Jesus's birthday. Okay, I hope I'm not bursting any bubbles for anyone in the room. We don't actually know when Jesus was born. We know a whole lot about his life. We know about his birth and his death and his resurrection, but we don't know exactly when he was born. The Bible doesn't tell us. And so we arrive every December, and we, as the church, have been celebrating Jesus' birth for thousands of years at the end of December. But have you ever stopped to wonder, why do we celebrate Jesus' birthday on December 25th? And I know that some of you kids actually already know this. You've been learning this the last few weeks in kids' church, that this is the history that we know. That back in ancient pagan Rome, there was a national holiday in the month of December, towards the end of the month. And it was a celebration of the time where the shortest days of the year were coming to an end, and there were going to be more days with longer sunshine, okay? Spring was coming. And so it was called Saturnalia, and Romans would gather. They would have time off from work. Kids would have time off from school. Families would get together, and they would have dinners together and have a celebration of this season. And what happened was there was these early Christians living in Rome that they didn't want to necessarily celebrate this cultural holiday because they were Christians, they weren't pagans, they weren't non-Christians, and they weren't Romans. So they didn't want to celebrate this pagan holiday, and yet they had time off from work, they had time off from school, and so they thought, why not get together as families and celebrate the birth of Jesus? Since we don't know when Jesus was born, why don't we take this cultural holiday, and rather than rejecting it, rather than simply receiving it, why don't we redeem it? And this has been something that the Church of Jesus Christ has always been really good at, as taking things in our culture that we don't necessarily want to follow and redeeming it and making it about Jesus. And so there's been Christians throughout the years who don't want to celebrate Jesus' birth around December 25th because of this background, the cultural pagan Roman background. And this is what I say to them. Bah humbug. Okay, so Christmas, and that's the... Amen, sister. Thanks, Lily. She's ready for Christmas. I say, why not look at the good that Christians have done as a church, taking something that was about worshiping something other than God and making it about Jesus. And we're here 2,000 years later. And listen, folks, there's no other time of year like Christmas where the whole world pauses. And while sure many do not pause to celebrate Christ, we still do have it written in the calendar, Christmas Day. It's a day where we remember and celebrate what Jesus did for us. And I think it's a beautiful thing. So let me remind you why I believe the whole world ought to still stop and celebrate Christmas. Luke chapter 2 records it like this. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory... Sorry, I'll start in the right verse. Let's start in verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." There is this natural inclination for us at Christmas time to feel a little bit extra joy. Does anyone else feel it? It's just in the air. It's whether you're hearing the Christmas carols in the shopping malls or on the radio or just whatever it is that you're doing. There's an extra sense of joy that we experience around this time of year. And if you've lost that feeling of joy, I'm hoping that some joy can rub off on you this morning by those of you in the room who are experts at having joy. And you know who that is? The children. Okay? Kids in the room, can I hear your voices? Can you give me a little shout? Okay, kids are the best. Because kids understand how to have joy. Kids run on a fuel supply of joy. Every day, constant energy. My four-year-old, every day, there's not a day that goes by that he doesn't say these words, "Dad, I'm so excited." And I say, "Kenny, what are you excited for?" And then he'll pause to make something up. Like, he just intrinsically is excited about life. He's like, "I'm excited because we're going to see so-and-so tomorrow, and we're going to do this." Just whatever is coming next in his life, he's excited about. Kids have this intrinsic joy in life. And what happens is, as we get older, that joy tends to get sucked out of us. Okay, now, some of you don't like that I said that, but let me prove it to you. Okay, kids laugh an average of 400 times a day. Adults laugh an average of 15 times a day. What does that tell you? The older you get, the less joy that you have. Okay? That's why God made it so that when we grow up, we have more kids so that we can then feed off of their joy. Okay? Joy is an amazing thing. And some people say, well, kids get all, they're getting all excited about the wrong things. Kids at Christmas are just excited about the presents. They're just excited about the food. They're not excited about Jesus. Once again to you, I say, bah humbug. I say that Christmas, folks, Christmas should be a party. And that's exactly what we make it. And let's get excited about the food. Let's get excited about the family. Sure, let's get excited about the presents because Jesus is worth throwing a party for. And I don't know, last time I checked, when we throw parties for people, we still have food and have presents, don't we? So when it comes to the celebration of Jesus, let's throw a party because the kingdom of heaven, if you haven't known this about where we're going, the kingdom of heaven is a 24/7 party. Nonstop joy, nonstop celebration, all feasting, no fasting. Somebody say amen. Okay? That's what's coming in heaven. So I like to say, let's have a party at Christmas time. And kids know how to have fun. It was the mature, grown-up disciples who tried to keep the kids away from Jesus. You remember that? Don't bother the master. He's too important for you. He's too busy for you. And Jesus rebuked them. He said, don't you stop those children from coming to me because the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Kids, let me tell you today, the kingdom of heaven is going to look a whole lot like you. Your joy and your excitement and your passion, that's what heaven is going to look like. Having joy is not childish, but childlike. Getting excited is not childish, but childlike. Celebrating Christmas is not childish, but childlike. And Jesus has called each and every one of us to be like a child. So let me bring you back to this word that the angel brought to the shepherds. Luke records it like this. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news." Okay, so pop quiz. What kind of news do we receive at Christmas time? What do we celebrate? It's good, Jesus. Yeah, you're in church, so that's the right answer for everything, right? It's good news. It's good news. It's all good. When you hear that you're going to receive good news, you immediately have that expectation in anticipation that this is something worth celebrating. He says, I'm going to bring you good news of great joy. Okay, so kids, how much joy are you supposed to have at Christmas? A lot, tons, right? You're supposed to have an immense amount of joy because Christmas is about good news of great joy. And that good news of great joy is not just for kids. And let me say this, it's not just for Christians, it's for all people. All people. All people. And yet we live in a time in our culture, and we believe this sometimes in our own hearts as the church, that we think that Christmas is for Christians. Let me just pause for a moment to tell you that that could not be further from the truth. Jesus says, I didn't come for healthy people, I came for the sick. Christmas is not for Christians. It's for the whole world. Christmas is not, well, it's just this little thing that I do and I celebrate in my household. No, Christmas is for everybody because Christ is for everybody. Jesus is not a commodity for you to consume upon yourself. He is the best news this world has ever heard. The angel said this, I've got good news. It's going to make you happy and it's for everybody. And here it is. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The good news that we receive at Christmas is that we have received a Savior. Here's where many people get tripped up. They don't see their need for a Savior. And so Christmas is this great disconnect where I've heard the story of Jesus. I heard the shepherds came. I heard the virgin had a baby. I heard about the wise men who came to bring gifts. And that's cute and that's great. And I'll think about it at Christmas time. But the disconnect is, do you see your need for a Savior? Jesus came not just to preach a good message, not just to tell you to visit the lonely and feed the hungry and heal the sick. He didn't just come to bring us, you know, a good message. He came to actually save us from ourselves and from our sin. Have any of you ever received a gift that you wanted to smile and enjoy positively to, but you just couldn't muster up the strength? Any of you, right? You got something on Christmas and the kids are shaking their heads like, what is that? It's like everything that I have, right? You received a gift and sometimes you're like, thank you, but I don't really see how I'm going to use this, and I don't really know if, like, did this come with a receipt? Can I bring this back, right? We've all gotten those kinds of gifts, and at Christmas, we celebrate Christ coming, but for most people, here's the thing, they don't see their need for Jesus. It's like my brother who almost never wears a coat. It could be negative 20 degrees outside. And if it weren't for him wanting to set a good example for his children, he would never wear a coat. He does not see his need for a coat. Now, he understands it's cold, I should wear a coat, but he does not, for himself, feel the need to wear a coat. See, most people don't see their need for Jesus. They think Jesus is great for you. Oh, yeah, great. You need Jesus, yeah, because you're real messed up, but I'm doing pretty good. Right? People don't see their need for a Savior. And if you need some help being convinced that you need a Savior, I'll give you one word, joy. Joy. you, without Jesus, have no long-lasting and sustaining source of joy. Now, kids, you've got joy. You've got joy overflowing. Kids just have this. It's in them. It's wired in them to be happy every day. Life is good. But when we grow up, we go through enough hard times and seasons in life where we understand that not every day is a happy day. Moms and dads, are you listening? Not every day is a joyful day, and yet we receive in Jesus an everlasting, lifelong joy like nothing else we could ever know. Here's a quote from the great Canadian actor Jim Carrey. "I wish everyone could get rich and famous and have everything that they've ever dreamed of so that they can see that that's not the answer." No matter how many presents you get at Christmas, no matter how many family members come from far away to gather around your dining room table and spend time at your living room, no matter how much family surrounds you this Christmas, only Jesus can bring you true lasting joy. Because at the end of the week or at the end of a few days ahead, all the dinner is going to be over and all the gifts are going to be unwrapped. And what settles in is this sense of discontentment that all of your hopes and dreams that Christmas would fill all of your joys and all of your desires, they don't last, right? They don't last. Because many of us have forgotten what we got last year for Christmas. Because when we look to temporary things, they will only bring us temporary joy. Should we be surprised that as long as we look at temporary things, they're only going to bring us temporary joy? I took a trip to the dump this last week, and throwing out some things that were real exciting when they were purchased several years ago. You know, everything that we own, ladies and gentlemen, is eventually going to the dump. If you want lasting joy, it's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's not a Christmas story. It's not a momentary experience, not a momentary feeling. If you want lasting, everlasting joy, doesn't mean, I'm not talking about fake joy. I'm not talking about, like, I got Jesus, so now I just always smile. This is my natural disposition. No, no, no. You still have good days. You still have bad days, but you have Jesus to carry you through the bad days. You have an everlasting, sustaining joy that will see you through. Sometimes I believe that when we look at Christmas, we get lost in the story in the past. What we need to be reminded of is the future that we also have in Jesus. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this, that God has planted eternity in the human heart. There is an eternal longing in every one of your hearts that cannot be satisfied or fulfilled in something temporary. You will chase after temporary things, but you will never experience that fulfilling of that eternal longing without Jesus. And so at Christmas, we celebrate the fact that Jesus came, that he was born. He came 2,000 years ago, and we know the story. He grew up, and he went on to live a good life and heal sick people and talk about the kingdom of God. He went on to have himself laid and sacrificed for us by being crucified on a cross. He rose from the dead so that we could have a new life with God, an everlasting life. We can celebrate all of those things that we read about that happened in the past. Here's what I believe that Christmas should also be about. It should be a celebration, not just that Jesus came, but that he's coming again. Sometimes in all the celebration, we just keep looking back and keep looking back and keep looking back. And what I want to just remind us of this morning, folks, is that Jesus is coming back. Like, there's a day coming where we're not going to be here on this earth anymore. None of us are. There's actually going to be an eternal party where every day is more joy than anything you've ever experienced on planet earth. Jesus is coming back. So let me take you back to ancient Rome when these pagans were celebrating Saturnalia. These early Christians started taking these traditions and they started making them about Jesus. And so back in Rome, they would actually decorate trees. Do you know that? They'd put lights on their trees. And they did it again as a reminder that the bright days were coming, that spring was coming. And so they'd look at the lights and they'd be thankful for the sunshine. And the early Christians, they looked at that and they said, you know, Jesus said that he was the light of the world. So let's keep decorating Christmas trees, but let's make them a sign and a symbol about who Jesus is, that he is the light in the midst of our darkness. Back in ancient Rome, they would actually exchange gifts. They would buy presents for one another as this celebration that winter was coming to an end and spring was coming. And the early Christians looked at that and they said, hey, do you remember when the Magi came to visit Jesus? You know, they brought presents. So let's keep this whole let's keep this whole gift-giving thing going. Let's buy presents for our loved ones. Let's be generous at Christmas time and give gifts because we want to make it about Jesus, who was the ultimate gift that God gave to us. That he was sent to this world to give us new life and life everlasting. And my hope and prayer is that we would be reminded not only that Jesus was born, but that he's coming again. The very last words of the book in our Bible, we hear Jesus saying this, "Behold, I am coming very soon." Church, I'm going to remind you one more time, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. Let Christmas be a reminder. He came once. He's coming again. You say, well, when's he coming? Well, we don't know that. I've heard this said before. We got Jesus' first coming pretty wrong, so we're probably going to get the second coming wrong too. We didn't see him coming the first time, but he is coming again. I want to give you the opportunity this Christmas to have that eternal longing in your heart come alive, and you're only going to experience it through surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ. So if you're in this place and you're ready to make that cry out to the Lord, I want you to pray this prayer after me. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I make you my Lord and Savior. Take my life and do something with it. In Jesus' name, amen. God, my prayer today is that we would find in you a sustaining joy to carry us through life that you've given us here. God, I know there's many families who are hurting. They're not feeling the joy. God, I pray that you would help them to set their sights upon you today. Lord, our joy is not a passing feeling. It's not a momentary sense of excitement. It is faith in you and faith in your plan for their life. God, I thank you for comforting those who are hurting, comforting those who are lonely. I thank you that you will be with those, Lord, who are stressed out and overworked and feeling stretched too thin. God, I thank you that this Christmas, Lord, would be an opportunity for them to draw closer to you. Lord, I lift up every meal around the dinner table as we meet with family over these coming days, Lord, I lift up every conversation on the living room couch. And God, I ask that you would be the light in every moment. I ask that you would be present in every conversation. God, I ask that Christ would be at the center of our Christmas as we celebrate and look to you. God, may we enjoy the things that we enjoy with the family, but may we celebrate you this Christmas. Today, Jesus, we say, happy birthday. Thank you for coming to this world so that you could die for us to give us new life. And Jesus, we thank you that you're coming again soon, Lord. You're coming back. And what a great day that will be. But until that day, we decide today to be joyful, to choose joy, and to keep that in our homes and in our hearts. We thank you for that great gift today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can we just give a big happy birthday to Jesus this morning? Can we say that? We say, happy birthday, Jesus.